Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Kane. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin McCarthy's bid to become Speaker of the House has turned into a bit of a circus, and I realize that the media, depending on which media you may be listening to, is filled with partial information, misinformation, just enough information to lean you in one direction or the other, and this is going to be a little bit of a different show today because I'm going to tell you my opinion, but I'm also going to tell you why this is a lot more complicated than what you're hearing on CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or Newsmax or anything else that you may listen to, because I'm very disappointed with the coverage, very disappointed for the most part, with all of the coverage of this and everyone's take on it, because this is not a cut and dry issue. This is not a black and white issue. It's a very complex issue. So I'm going to give you the goods. I'm going to give you the bads. I'm going to give you the in-betweens. I'm going to let you make up your own mind what you think is best for this country, because after all, that's the whole point of us having our freedom, right? Folks, the 20 people led by Matt Gaetz and Lone Bobart and Chip Roy, who are vehemently opposed to Kevin McCarthy becoming Speaker of the House, have blocked his nomination at every turn. As of this show, he has just failed, I believe, his seventh vote. And many of them, not all of them, but many of them are saying, we're just never going to vote for Kevin McCarthy. We're not voting for him. He can make certain concessions to some, and that may win over some. I'm going to tell you what those concessions are in a second. But we are not going to vote for him. We are adamantly opposed. We are the anybody but Kevin McCarthy crew. We're not going to vote for him. And because he has such a narrow margin in the House, he can only lose 4 Republican votes before he simply cannot reach that magic number. So he's got a very thin margin to work with. Now, the 20 who have opposed him have said we want certain concessions. One of the concessions is that they want to make sure that Kevin McCarthy's crew is not going to interfere by backing one candidate over another in primaries, in Republican strongholds. Why do you ask, is that important? Well, I'll tell you why it's important. Because Kevin McCarthy, to a large extent, brought this problem on himself. The reason we have such a narrow margin of victory in the House is because Kevin McCarthy actively worked against, and so did Mitch McConnell, actively worked against candidates that they felt were MAGA Republican candidates. Actively worked against them. Monetarily, bad-mouthed them, everything you could possibly think of. And look, folks, you know, you can go and take a look. You don't have to believe me. Hawthorne is one of them that they badmouthed. He probably would have been in had it not been for Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell. I can name you several. They actively engaged in saying we want old-school establishment Republicans, or we'd rather just lose. We'd rather just have the Democrats. So, before you go feeling sorry for Kevin McCarthy, he brought a lot of this on himself. If we had had 6, 8, 10 more seats, well, then you may have seen something different. Now let's understand that when confronted Several of these 20 Never McCarthys have said McCarthy didn't want to give us the time of day before the midterms. He didn't want to negotiate or work with us because he didn't think he needed us. His attitude was, you don't matter. I'm going to have a huge margin in the House, and your votes, yay or nay, aren't going to affect me one way or the other. So screw you. I'm giving you nothing. Is that who you want for the Speaker of the House? You see, what they're trying to say in a nutshell is this. And it's something that I've said on this show before, and I'm going to give you why I think they're right, and then I'll give you why I think something's got to change and they may have to bend. But here we go with why they're actually right. Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, the good old boys club in the Uniparty known as the Republican Party, have been all talk and no action for way too long. He suffers from Lindsey Graham disease, and I'll tell you what that is. Lindsey Graham was infamous for going on every talk show he could possibly find his face on and say, when the hearings start and I get so-and-so before me, I'm going to grill them like they've never been grilled before, and they're going to answer hard questions, and the American people are going to see we're going to hold their feet to the fire. Then they'd get there before Lindsey Graham, and he'd ask them one or two hard questions, thank them for being there, and say, nothing to see here. Nothing to see. I'm satisfied. I fear Kevin McCarthy is the same. Kevin McCarthy is going to come out and say, I'm going to be Speaker of the House. So I'm going to get on the Hannity show. I'm going to get on the Laura Ingraham show. I'm going to get on every show I can think of and say, just you wait till I'm Speaker of the House. The subpoenas are going to fly. We're going to get Dr. Fauci in here. We're going to get this guy in here and that guy. And we're going to really grill him, and we're going to find out what's happening. And it's all a dog and pony show. Yeah, they're going to yell, scream, holler, tell the American people, we did our best. Didn't you see how we yelled, screamed, and hollered at them? But at the end, you're going to say, well, there's really nothing anybody can do. We've learned a lesson for next time. And everything goes back to normal. And the Democrats know that. Democrats know that. They know that Kevin McCarthy's not going to do anything to Joe Biden. Kevin McCarthy has already said, well, you know, we can't just impeach Joe Biden for no reason. Well, there is many reasons. There's two or three things that he's done that is 100% impeachable offenses. Kevin McCarthy doesn't know about those. I don't know. We'll have to take a look into this and see. Yeah. It's going to be business as usual, which means they're going to give you the pro wrestling version of politics where they pretend to be enemies and then they all go out to eat together and laugh it up and have cocktails and attend each other's parties. That's what they do. These 20 are saying, no, not this time. Washington is broken to its very core. We now have the power of the House, and we are not going to give it back to the people who did nothing. We are not going to give it back to the people who we know are just going to give us lip service. We're not going to give it back to the very people who are going to just wink, wink, nod, nod at the Democratic Party, let them get away with whatever they want to get away with, and do absolutely nothing about it while going on talk shows screaming and hollering how you're going to be tough on them. They've just about said that flat out. They've said Kevin McCarthy's not going to do anything. He's going to give you the theater. He's going to make pretend he's going to do all this stuff. But at the end of the day, does anybody remember Trey Gowdy? Trey Gowdy would yell, scream, holler, and really, really grill people who came before him. Make them look stupid. Pretty much reveal them for the idiots that they were, and then turn around and say, yeah, well, nothing can be done. We did what we needed to do. We yelled at them. It's the equivalent of telling your kid, I don't want you to stick your finger in the light socket. But you don't do anything about it after he does it 10 times. You just keep saying, don't do that no more, please. Please don't do that anymore. I wish you wouldn't do that. And they nod, nod, wink, wink, and the Democrats say, yeah, they're going to yell at us. Big deal, we get yelled at. At the end of the day, Kevin McCarthy has more in common with the Democratic Party than he does with the MAGA movement. So they don't want to vote for him because they clearly see it's going to be business as usual. They clearly see that we promised the American people that if we took power, people were going to be held accountable for the things that they did. The FBI will be held accountable for lying about Hunter Biden's laptop and basically usurping a whole election. People will be held responsible for what happened on January 6th and lying about it. Lying about it and putting people in prison who don't belong there. People will be held accountable for this nonsensical COVID fanaticism, the American people. And they gave you the power. And now you're going to give it to Kevin McCarthy, who's going to say, well, let's give him a good show, boys. But at the end of the day, we're going to say, well, we don't, you know, Dr. Fauci made mistakes. We all make mistakes. Any errors he made was on the side of trying to do the best he could in a very tough situation for the country. So we have to forgive those mistakes because that's the people we are. The FBI, yes, there were a couple of bad actors in there, but that does not represent the FBI as a whole. And the FBI has assured us that they will take care of the situation. They will handle the situation on their own, and we believe them. That's it. And they'll prosecute Hunter Biden for tax evasion, like we give one damn about whether Hunter Biden gets prosecuted for tax evasion. That's not the point. The point is about Joe Biden being associated with this. I don't care what Hunter Biden does. You shouldn't either. He's not an elected official. I don't care if he sleeps with prostitutes. I don't care if he smokes crack. I don't care if he pays his taxes. I care how it relates to the president of the United States of America, and they're going to whitewash that. And these 20 people know that's exactly what's going to happen. And then they're going to have to turn to their constituents and say, and they're going to ask them, did you vote for him, for Speaker of the House? Yes. Okay, well, I'm not voting for you because that's not what you promised us. See where they're coming from? That's the point of view that they're coming from. They promised their constituents, they promised the people who voted for them that this time Washington would be different, that people would be held accountable, and they would put somebody in charge of that Speaker of the House seat who would assure them that these people would be held accountable. That's not Kevin McCarthy. So they don't want to vote for him. They want to stand on principle and say, we're not going back to the good old boys show. Now here's the problem with that. At the end of the day, we have to have a Speaker of the House. He has 200 some odd votes. You have 20. So here's what's going to end up happening. Either Kevin McCarthy is going to step down, which is highly unlikely, given his ego. And they're going to be allowed to put some other candidate up there that's more acceptable to other people. I've heard Steve Scalise mentioned, I think he would vote for amnesty or try to sneak that in. So I don't know if that's even a good pick, but maybe they'll pick someone who's a little more establishment, but that they have some faith in, I guess. That's the long shot. The next thing is that Kevin McCarthy meets with these 20 and says, I know you don't like me. I know you're a never McCarthy guy. What can I do to earn your trust? What can I do to earn your vote? I've given you all the concessions that you want, but is there something else I can do? Then there's the third one, and I'm afraid of this one. I'm afraid this is exactly what's going to happen. Kevin McCarthy is going to turn to the Democrats, and he's going to say, I don't want you to vote for me. I realize you can't vote for me, but you can vote present. And if you vote present, it lowers the bar of how many votes I need. And if you do happen to find it in your heart to vote present, when I'm Speaker of the House, I can give you this, I can give you that. He'll cut a deal with the Democrats. He got to deal with the Democrats and gets in the Speaker of the House despite these 20. You may as well say that the Democrats won the Speaker of the House. You may as well say the Democrats won the House. And if you think McCarthy won't do that, You're wrong. He will do that. Absolutely will do that if push comes to shove, because he wants to be Speaker of the House. So we have ourselves a problem, don't we? And it's a big problem. Now, I heard people like Sean Hannity say, this is muddying up the system. You know, he has the majority. The majority has to rule. Sean, my friend, majority rules, correct. But the people who pick that majority are the American people, not a bunch of politicians. The American people as a whole do not want him as speaker. The Republicans as a whole, your voting base, all right, not people who are sitting in the House right now, your voting base doesn't want him. So what are you trying to say? That the people in general who voted for people who obviously have big problems with McCarthy, they should just be ignored, and McCarthy should be just coronated because he's earned this job. How's he earned it? What has he done? Explain to me what he did. He would have earned it if we had such a huge victory in the House that it was almost irrelevant what these 20 voted. Then I would have said, well, you're right, he has earned it. He brought us a huge victory in the House. We barely scraped the majority in the House, and no thanks to him, because he was actively fighting against many of them. Actively fighting against them. As far as Trey Gowdy is concerned, in his opinion on this, saying this is a clown show and ridiculous, Trey, my friend, you're the person who said, I actively investigated the FBI and I found out they did nothing wrong. Remember when Trey Gowdy did that? We're going to get to the bottom of the FBI and what they did. And you know what he comes up with? The American people will be glad to know that the FBI did nothing wrong. The FBI acted exactly as the FBI should act in these cases, and I can confidently say that the American people are well served. Lies. Because now we found out what they did. How come you couldn't find that out, Trey? Huh? How come you couldn't find that out? Or maybe you did find it out and you chose you're not going to say nothing, huh? I don't want these type of people in Washington anymore. But we have a problem because they're there. And they're going to stay in power one way or the other until we can get to a situation where people who actively want to do something are in power. This is why this 20 is trying so hard to put someone in power who they truly feel will do something. The Democrats are not afraid of McCarthy because they know what's waiting ahead of them. The Republicans will subpoena this person and subpoena that person, and they'll have their little shouting parties, and at the end of the day, nothing will happen. Always. However, folks, I don't see a road where these 20 are going to win. What is it that they're going to do? Best case scenario is that McCarthy steps down and says, obviously, I have no path to victory here. I will help to nominate someone else if everyone says they'll vote for him. That would probably be Steve Scalise. He's marginally better, marginally. And when you see these people, like a Sean Hannity, fight so hard for McCarthy, why? Why? What did he do? What satisfaction did McCarthy ever bring? McCarthy, who wouldn't speak up against the January 6th debacle. McCarthy, who advised Donald Trump to step down. He did nothing wrong. McCarthy, who actively worked against candidates that he didn't think he wanted and would rather have Democrats win. You can thank the narrow victory that we have in the House. You can thank McCarthy and you can thank Mitch McConnell for that. If they actively backed the candidates who were actually good candidates and strong candidates, they would have had 10 more seats, maybe more. But they didn't. They worked against them. That's why one of the things that this 20 is demanding is that they don't get involved in the primaries, that his PAC does not get involved financially or whatever in any of these primaries, because they know what he's trying to do. They know exactly what he's trying to do. He's just another member of this uniparty. While he's trying to win Speaker of the House, you have turkey gobbler Mitch McConnell standing next to Joe Biden, yucking it up. You've got to realize Liz Cheney endorsed Kevin McCarthy. Does that not tell you everything you need to know? And I realize Marjorie Taylor Greene did too. See, and I realize even Donald Trump has come out and said, well, you know, I think he'll do a good job this time. I think you need to go with him. The reason they're doing this, folks, is because they have convinced themselves, and they may be right, that McCarthy's getting in anyway. He's getting in anyway, at least in their opinion. The Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Donald Trumps have convinced themselves, look, there is no other way. He's going to get in by hook or by crook. If he gets in with all Republican votes, he doesn't owe the Democrats anything. If he's forced to go across that aisle and promise them the moon to vote present, he'll do it. And then he's obligated to the Democrats, and we really don't even have the House. We just theoretically have the House. So I think that Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump, those type of people are endorsing McCarthy because they think it's inevitable. And the best case scenario is he wins with all Republican support and doesn't have to offer the Democrats anything to get in. And I understand their position, and I respect that position. But at the same time, I can't tell you that I don't respect those 20 people for saying, if nothing ever changes in Washington, how do we expect change? I remember when I was a little boy, and I bring this up a lot because I'm a huge wrestling fan. Went to wrestling matches, and I saw these two guys damn near kill each other. Maybe I was 9. And I'm saying to myself, oh, they must hate each other so much. And later, my folks took me to a restaurant just outside the arena, and there those two guys were sitting together eating. And I remember being so confused, saying, how can that be? They were just trying to kill each other. And I learned a valuable lesson that day, and that is not everything is as it seems. And when you have guys like Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and several other Republicans saying we're going to hold the Democrats' feet to the fire, that's just all rhetoric and talk. They're not going to do any of that. They have absolutely no intention of doing any of that. And they never did. Just like those two guys never had any intention of really hurting each other. Well, there you go, folks. Washington is broke, completely unhinged broke. And the people you think are on your side and the people you think are going to fight for you, they're laughing at you, saying, boy, I sure went on that talk show and said some bad things about you. Do you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. Geez, I thought you were serious for a minute. Yeah, nod, nod, wink, wink. It's what it is, folks. I hate to be the one to burst your bubble, but that's what it is. And out of this are coming 20 or so people who are saying, we've had enough of this. This is not the way it's supposed to work. The American people have had their fill. They want answers. They want justice. They want truth. And they want to be represented fairly, and it's not happening. And if we have to hold out till doomsday, we're going to do it because that's in our heart of hearts what we feel is right, and they are correct. The problem is the machine is too big. These 20 people can't win. That's where the problem lies. These 20 people cannot win. I wish they could. And if Kevin McCarthy was a fair and honest man, he would say, these 20 people are so vehemently opposed to me, I'll just step down. Name me a candidate that you'll all support. If there's somebody here besides me that every single one of you will support unanimously, I will step down to them. Because it's more important that the party unify than I be in power. Wouldn't that be the proper thing to do? That's what I would do. I might be mad. I might say, well, I don't know. I don't feel I got a fair chance. But if there is a person here among us who the vast majority, if not all of you, will vote for, please put that name forward. Because if there is one, then that's who belongs to be Speaker of the House. Because then that's the one that the majority that Sean Hannity is screaming about would vote for. So Sean's saying, well, he has 200 and some odd votes, and you have 20. Okay, but that's not enough. Is there a guy or a woman in that building who can get the 200 and, what, 18, 19 that they need? And if there is, that's who Kevin McCarthy should step down to. Why won't he? Because he thinks he's entitled to it. The Republicans, just like the Democrats, seem to think, done this and that. I've been around here. It's just going to be a coronation. How dare you? How dare you put democracy into the mix? How dare you stand up and say, we don't want you? Well, that's their job. That's literally their job. That's exactly why the voters voted for them, to voice their concerns. And when a Lauren Boebert or a Chip Roy says, we don't want you, it means my constituents don't want you. This is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm hearing from the people who voted me in. We don't want Kevin McCarthy. You don't think that that's something you should be interested in? See, the Republican Party is going through turmoil because there's a large majority of them right now who still just want the good old boys club of let's do business as usual. And there's a uprising of younger Republicans who are saying business as usual has never worked. We're tired of business as usual. The American people are tired of business as usual, and we want change. Change isn't going to come with McCarthy. It's not going to come with McConnell. And they're absolutely right. Unfortunately, their numbers are not great enough. So I think what they're trying to do, or at least what I hope they're trying to do, is hold the establishment Republicans' feet to the fire and say, we're not going to put up with bullshit. If and only if we decide we're going to bite the bullet and vote for Kevin McCarthy, he's going to understand very clearly that he's going to follow through on his promises or out he goes. That's why they want just, I think, the five. Now it's down to one, I think, one person to recall Speaker or whatever. That's one of the concessions that I guess McCarthy has made to vote to recall. They want to be able to hold his feet to the fire. You think they don't trust – the thing is people are saying, well, they just don't like him because he didn't throw money into their campaign. No. Look at very clearly at the concessions they want him to make. No budgets or no financial things being passed in the middle of the night. Do you understand that they put like a 4,000-page bill, not for people to read, literally said, here's 4,000 pages and we're voting on it in an hour. Nobody can read that. Nobody can read that. So while old chicken neck Mitch McConnell says, this is good for America, there's literally millions and millions of your dollars going to a jogging trail that'll bear Michelle Obama's name. Is that the way you want your tax dollars spent? You think that's a good use of your tax dollars? How come that has to be in there? Who put that in there? How come it can't be removed? I don't want a jogging trail in Michelle Obama's name. I don't want my money going to that. How come I don't have a say where my money's going? I think that's a wasteful amount of money. I don't care whose name it's in. I don't care if it's the Donald Trump jogging trail. I don't want it. You want something like that in your individual state, you pay for it. No. Everybody gets to put in their little pork barrel projects, their little, side projects. And we'll just pass it. Who cares what's in it? Not our money. The taxpayers' money. Well, they said, we don't want that anymore. He was very reluctant to give in on that. He was very reluctant to give in on all of these things. Didn't even want to include in some of these special groups any what you would call MAGA Republican. They had to put something up there that says you'll include at least like two or three of us in all these proceedings. They wanted to go right back to business as usual. They were chomping at the bit to get back to the good old boys club. And these 20 people said, no, we're not so fast. You've done this for years and years and years and years, and nothing's ever come of it. So why in the world would we do that again? Why can't we have someone with that gavel in their hand who's a fighter? Why can't we have someone with that gavel in their hand who has a clear mission that we are going to see accountability for what happened here these last couple of years? How come we can't have that? And McCarthy saying, well, that is me. Well, if it was you, how come you never did anything before? You capitulated to every single thing the Democrats wanted at all times. You're not a fighter. Well, show me where you fought. Show me. It's ridiculous. Should he be Speaker of the House? Hell no. Hell no. There's 20 better choices. But at the end of the day, folks, and that's why I say this is such a complex issue, at the end of the day, he's probably going to be. And those 20 who fought so hard against him, do you think he's going to give them anything? Do you think he's going to listen to their issues? Do you think he's going to bring about anything that they want? Do you think he's going to enact revenge upon them for what they did? So we're in a crucial situation. I think the 20 have made their point. And you do need to hold his feet to the fire. And you do need to get him to capitulate on everything you want as much as you possibly can. But if you push this too far, he's going to say, forget it. I'll go to the other side of the aisle. I'll cut a deal with the Democrats. They'll vote present. And I'll get in anyway. And I don't need your votes to do it. I'll owe them, and down the line I'll have to repay those favors. But I'll get in, because that's the way politics works, folks. That's the way politics works. So what do we do in a situation like this? Well, the first thing you need to do is accept the fact that we're not going to get what we want as far as a new speaker unless McCarthy suddenly grows a sense of patriotic duty and steps aside, which he will not do. He will not do that. So we're probably going to get him a speaker. But it's the American people who have to make their voices clear. And instead of people vilifying this 20, you should be writing their names down and saying, these are the people who are fighting for me. They didn't win this battle, but they fought it for us. They fought it so that we could clearly see that if things don't happen, it wasn't their fault. They fought very hard, to make sure that we had someone who would fight for us. And in the end, they lost. But they told us ahead of time. They told us the truth. Those 20 people should be rewarded. These other people who are saying to you, well, this is an outrage. He should just be able to walk in there and get the votes on the first round and do whatever he wants. And let's go back to the dog and pony show. You should never trust anything that comes out of their mouth again. Because they sold you a bill of goods. They're in on it. I do not believe in my heart of hearts, and I hope I'm proven wrong, but I do not believe in my heart of hearts that Kevin McCarthy has any interest whatsoever in prosecuting anyone for the phony Russia hoax, for prosecuting anyone for the COVID cover-ups, including anyone for the FBI involvement not only in our elections, but in some of these Russia gate hoaxes and all these other things. I don't think he has any intention of doing any of that. Oh, he'll subpoena them. And he might yell at them. At the end of the day, it's going to be the Trey Gowdy syndrome. I told them, I hope the American people saw that on the highlight of the Hannity show. I called them out right to their face. And then when the vote comes of what to do, I don't think there's anything need to be done. I wouldn't vote for anything more than just what we've already done. I don't really think there's any need here to prosecute or anything else. And everybody just walks away. And they say, I told you. They come out with their chest puffed up. I told you I was going to tell them off. Yeah, well, telling them off don't matter. They don't care. They don't care. How about if we did that in crimes, actual crimes? How about if this piece of human trash that stabbed those four people in Idaho, how about if they just come before the judge and the judge says, what are you, some kind of a moron? What are you, an idiot? What do you think you can take four people's lives? Who do you think you are? Huh? The hell were you thinking? What are you, a moron? What are you, trash? You murdering scum? I'm sorry. Okay. Well, don't do it anymore. I think he's learned his lesson. Is that good enough? Is that good enough? Or would there be such a public outcry that you say, well, this is ridiculous. How could a judge possibly do that? Well, that's what you're getting. You're going to get Fauci yelled at. You're going to get the FBI yelled at. You're going to get all these other people yelled at. And then they're going to say, yeah, it's all, they've learned their lesson. Unless McCarthy is in fear of his seat. Unless these 20 can really get him to capitulate to say he can be removed if he doesn't honor those promises. And that's what they're trying to get him to do. They're trying to get him to agree that if he does not honor in good faith the promises of bringing subpoenas about, investigating certain things, and holding people responsible, that he can be removed. Why is he fighting so hard against saying okay? If that's what he wants to do. If that was his agenda from the very beginning, ask yourself why he didn't immediately say, well, of course I'll sign that. I have full intentions on doing every single one of those things, so why wouldn't I sign it? Give me a pen. If that's the only thing that's holding this up, there's my name. You have my promise, because that's my full intention. He's not doing it. Why isn't he doing it? Because he knows he's not gonna. No, he's not gonna. So all we can do, folks, is take the loss here. We're going to take the loss. If McCarthy gets in, it's a loss. But you got to remember the 20 people. And you got to remember that those were the fighters. And you'll remember that when time comes to vote, that you want fighters. You don't want these type of people. You don't want the old school establishment Republicans in there anymore. They don't do anything. They don't do anything. It's ridiculous. Matt Gaetz was smart enough. You say, well, you know, they won't work across the aisle. Really? Matt Gaetz went over there and yelled at AOC. He said, I heard that you guys are planning on getting together with old McCarthy here and voting present so that it lowers the bar of how many votes he needs. If you do that, we're blowing the whistle on it. And she's saying, we're not doing that. We're not going to do that. Caught like a deer in the headlights, because they're caught with their hands in the cookie jar again. So now the Democrats are saying, no, no, we won't do that. And maybe they won't, because they will be called on it. And maybe McCarthy won't do it because he will be called on it. But they're shameless, so I don't know. It's not like they know any shame. They don't know any shame. All they care about is power. It's supposed to be working for the American people. The American people are supposed to be your ultimate bosses. And instead, I guess according to Sean Hannity, you just walk in and you should be inaugurated instantly. Kiss the ring. Here comes Kevin McCarthy. Kiss the ring. How about if I don't want Kevin McCarthy? How about if the majority of Republican voters don't want Kevin McCarthy? Do we count, Sean, or we don't count? I don't care if it's one person standing up for all of us. If one person is standing up for the majority of voters, then that's stronger than saying, well, there's 200 people standing up in the House representing Kevin McCarthy. Yeah, but they're not representing any of the voters. So it doesn't matter, Sean. That's where you're making your mistake. So we can go the Marjorie Taylor Greene route and say, this snake in the grass, McCarthy, is going to cut a deal. He's going to get in anyway, so you might as well stay on his good side. She may be right. That's kind of what Trump is saying. Or you can go the Matt Gaetz and the Lauren Boebert and the Chip Roy path of saying, no, we're going to stand up to the bitter end. And let people know this is not our choice. And if we fail in this in some way, shape, or form, at least everyone will know we went down trying. Six of one, half a dozen the other, folks. I suspect McCarthy will be Speaker of the House. That's what I suspect. And we'll see. But ultimately, it's you who's going to have to hold his feet to the fire. Ultimately, it's you who's not going to have to settle for, oh, we yelled at them and that's good enough. No, you guys got to make your voices heard. You got to say that this is the way you're going to do things. Lie to us about what you're going to do and pretend and give us little mock show trials and everything else. Guess what? None of you people are getting voted for ever again. We're primarying you out, and we're voting for the fighters. We're voting for the Matt Gaetzes. We're voting for the Lauren Boeberts. We're voting for the Chip Roys. We're not voting for your dead ass. And make a note of the people. You got the power to do that. Anyway, in the remaining time left, let me say that it's very, very interesting that the best Catholic in the whole entire world, Joe Biden, the man who's just, I'm so Catholic that I'm more Catholic than Catholic. Believe me when I tell you, I am just as I'm raised Catholic and born Catholic, and I'm Catholic, Catholic, Catholic. He's not going to the Pope's funeral. You'd think you'd make some time for that, huh? That's kind of interesting. Yeah, we'll pass. Bigger fish to fry. Other things to do. I'm going to the border. You're going to the border to do what? What is it exactly that you're going to the border to do? See for yourself what a mess you made. It's been 2 years, Joe. You're going to go there and say, I hired more Border Patrol guards. Yeah, it's not working. You can hire a million Border Patrol guards, and if your policies let them in, I don't care whether there's one guy standing there or a million. What's the difference? You were the guy who stood on the stage and said, if I win the presidency, you better make a run for the border because we're opening the gate. You said that, Joe. There's such a thing now as videotape, you know? We can watch it again and again and again. That's what you said. So the mess that you're causing, that you caused and your administration caused, you're going to go to the border and do what? Come back and say, it's all under control. Well, everybody knows it's not under control. Everybody knows it's a crap show. And everybody knows that the people who are flooding in, they don't have jobs, they don't have places to live, and they don't have any money. It's not like they're coming over here and they've got a suitcase full of money. It's not like they're saying, well, I'm taking my sizable assets and my business, and I'm transferring it to a bank in the United States where I'll open up my business here. They're not doing that. These are people who are dirt poor. They're going to live off our tax dollars again. Millions of them. And then you wonder why your taxes are going up and up and up and up and up. I mean, let's face it. No, it's pretty sad. I talked to a kid. He was probably only 16, 17 the other day. And he said, well, I finally got a job that pays a little more than minimum wage because $15 an hour just wasn't cutting it. I'm up to 17 where I'm working now. And I said, you do realize that minimum wage means nothing. Minimum wage could be $5. If the price of gas was 25 cents and your rent was not $1,000, it was $200, and a gallon of milk was 85 cents, you could do very well on $5 an hour. And he looks at me like I have 10 eyes and said, I didn't think about that. Yeah, nobody thinks about that. What the hell good is it? I could make the minimum wage $100 an hour, and if gas ends up being, $80 a gallon, it doesn't help you. It's just a vicious circle. Pretty soon you'll be like those countries that have to have a wheelbarrow full of money to buy a loaf of bread. Yeah, minimum wage is $1,700 an hour, and a loaf of bread is $1,400. Okay, that's an awful lot of cash to bring to the grocery store. Nobody thinks about that. All we hear is, well, we need these workers in this country. We need these immigrants to work because they do the jobs that the Americans won't take. Well, the Americans would take them. If you didn't just say, oh, you don't want to work, fine. Then you just go on welfare and we'll give you all the money you need. You don't have to worry about it. You don't want to work, you don't work. If a job's available and you're an able-bodied person to do that job, then you should have to accept that job. I mean, if I was dead out on my feet, and I had to go get welfare, and they said, there's a job, but it involves, picking lettuce, or it involves doing this, that, or the other thing, I'd say, well, I'll take it. They should force me to take it, really. They should say, if you're able-bodied and you can do it, then you got to do it. We're not going to give you money to sit home and play on your Xbox. But that's not what they do. So then they cry, well, we don't have Americans to fill these jobs. Well, how many Americans do you have on welfare? Disability is one thing. How many do you have on welfare or they can't find a job? Well, how come you're just handing over money? How come they're not forced to take that job? If there's a job available, you should be forced to take it within reason. I mean, you can't take a job you don't know how to do. You can't say, well, you're a computer programmer if you, quit school in the fifth grade. But if there's just menial jobs that need to be done, how come? How come they can't, they don't have to work for that money? We're screwed up in this country, folks. When we get to the point where we say we have to literally import immigrants to do jobs because Americans won't do them, then I guess my next question is, why won't the Americans do them? Oh, they're too hard physical labor. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I know plenty of Americans who bust their ass. And I mean bust their ass. I grew up in a farming community, man. Some of these farmers... And I hear people all the time, must be nice to own your own farm and just kind of live off the land. Yeah, you try it. You try being a farmer. I know how hard a work that is. That ain't no 9-to-5, my friend. That's not sitting in an office pressing some buttons. That's not sitting at Twitter at the sushi bar, laying on your air pillow. That's real work. Americans will take these jobs. You just got to give the ultimatum of we're cracking down on how much money we're going to give you unless you take a job that's available. I understand it may be beneath you, but at the same time, if I can't find a job as a computer programmer and I have a family, rather than to just live off the land if doing something else until then, fine. If you've got something open, I'll do it. It's not beneath me. Good hard work isn't beneath any of us. See, I don't know when that's become a thing. I don't know when it's become a thing where you're just like, well, that's beneath me, but sitting on your couch collecting money for nothing isn't beneath you. And I want people to also understand, going back to this nonsense with McCarthy, he may have voted against this omnibus bill because he knows he had to vote against this omnibus bill. But Mitch McConnell didn't. Oh, Mitch McConnell was right in there saying it's one of the greatest things ever. You wait and see what this does to this country. And McCarthy would have been right along with him had it not been for the fact that he knew it would harm his chances of becoming Speaker of the House. Because everything to them is, how do I stay in power and suck off the tit of government for the rest of my life? How do I keep my position? What do I have to do? Whose back do I have to plunge the knife in? It doesn't matter what the American people want. This is about me, 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 me. How do I keep my job? How do I keep my cushy, nice job? That's what it's all about. That's why I don't want a guy like Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy had the chance to fight when this whole January 6th thing happened. He had the chance to go on television and say, this is bull. Donald Trump never said anything of the sort. He never incited anything. This is totally blown out of proportion. And we're going to get a full investigation into this. Now, what did he do? He capitulated like a coward and said, oh, my God, resign, Mr. President, resign. Resign for what? What did he do? He never liked Trump. Because Trump was exactly the same as these 20 people. Trump said Washington is completely falling apart with this good old boy uniparty, and I'm not putting up with it. And that includes you, McCarthy. McCarthy didn't like that. And McConnell didn't like that. Because that's a threat to them, threat to their cushy lifestyle. I'm done with the cushy lifestyles. I'm done with supporting these people. You know, you want to know who the biggest welfare recipients in the United States of America are? Politicians. That's who. Because they do fuck all 90% of the time and collect a huge paycheck, huge pensions, all kinds of benefits that you'll never get. And you're lucky if they show up once in a blue moon and say, I'll cast a vote. The real fighters, the real workers, we know who they are. Time to fire the rest of them. But boy, they'll do anything they can to hang on to power, and that's including sabotaging their own people. Mitch McConnell, McCarthy, they got together during these midterms and said, how do we sabotage the Trumpers? How do we sabotage them? We don't need them in here. They're going to upset the apple cart, our cushy jobs. We can't have that. We'd rather have the Democrats in power. Yeah, that's exactly what they did, folks. All of these people you thought were fighting for you and against the radical Democrats, they'd rather have the radical Democrats run the country as long as they can keep their cushy job, get on the Hannity show, shrug their shoulders and say, well, what can we do? We fought hard, but we're not the majority. We can only do what we can do. We hear the American people. We're trying so hard. And then they go out to their cocktail parties with these people and laugh it up and say, ah, hey, man, how's the family? How's everything going? Those are the welfare recipients, the ones you're paying for, your tax dollars pays for, and they couldn't give one damn about you or what you want. Those 20 people, they give a damn about what you want. They really do, but they're fighting an uphill battle, and they can't win it. At the end of the day, you can send 20 brave soldiers to fight an army of thousands. They're not going to win. They can be as brave as they want to be. They can be as motivated as they want to be. They can be right. They're not going to win. And this is where we're standing right now. They're not going to win this at the end of the day. So they got to get whatever they can out of it. They got to squeeze as much juice out of the orange as they can. They got to bring McCarthy to the point where he says, I've made every concession I intend to make. And then they're going to have to bite the bullet, I guess, because either way, he's getting in. He'll just make the concessions with the Democrats. If all else fails, McCarthy will go across that aisle and say, what's it going to take for enough of you to vote present to get me in? And they'll make a list of demands, some of which will be no subpoenas for this person, no investigations into this, no looking into this, no doing that, and he'll say, okay, and then that's it. That's it. He'll be the speaker. You won't get these investigations. You won't get these hearings. People you thought were going to be subpoenaed are not going to be. And he's going to sit there and say, I did my best for the American people. But those 20 bastards, he's going to blame them. When the honorable and the right move would be to say, if I cannot get you all to vote for me, if I cannot get you your confidence, if there's nothing I can do or say that would make you ultimately say, okay, I'll vote for you, then I'm stepping down. If you give me the names of someone who everyone will vote for universally and will pass on the first vote, I guarantee you there's a name that will. He won't do it. Ask yourself why, folks. But I suspect you already know the answer.